Our next guest says UW-Madison's program to deal with incidents of bias and hate may be causing George Orwell to stir in his grave. Since 2016, if people feel that another student, faculty, or staff member said or did something they think is biased or insensitive, they can submit what's called a bias incident report form. According to a recent story in the Dispatch, 107 bias or hate complaints were made in the 2018-2019 school year. Donald Downs is the Alexander Michael John Professor of Political Science Emeritus and Affiliate Professor of Law and Journalism Emeritus at UW-Madison. His new book, Free Speech and Liberal Education, A Plea for Intellectual Diversity and Tolerance, came out this week. Donald, thanks for joining us today.
Sure thing, Rob. Glad to be aboard.
Well, can you talk about the original intent of this bias incident report process?
Well, the original intent is to get a sense of what kind of acts of discrimination are going on campus, and those can include certain forms of verbal conduct, such as harassment, and things of that nature, which has a pretty specific meaning according to the Supreme Court. The problem is that if you talk about insensitive remarks and those get reported, insensitivity is an incredibly broad term, and simply, you know, disagreeing with somebody's political candidate could be seen as insensitive. So the concern is the overreach.
What happens when a complaint is filed? What are the consequences?
Well, apparently, from my knowledge, I mean, first of all, we need to realize this is a nationwide kind of system. There are at least 232 schools that have it, but I'm sure the number's really larger than that. That's how many have reported having it. And some schools have treated the process much better than other schools. And to my knowledge, UW-Madison has not sanctioned anybody. They have called people in to talk to them about the complaints. And then the question is how that's handled, and I don't really have an answer to that right now.
What is your concern about a reporting system like this done, as far as we know, the way UW-Madison is doing it?
Well, the concern is if students report comments that have intellectual content related to the class that and they don't like what the professor has said, then kind of spin that in a way which could have a real chilling effect on honest discourse in the class. And it's one thing to have the program have a standard of harassment and discriminatory speech that conforms to First Amendment standards, which ours does, to UW-Madison's credit. But if students don't abide by that and they file complaints about comments that are made as part of the normal give and take of intellectual discourse, could have a real chilling effect on speech, and faculty members and students will feel like there's a kind of a Damocles sword hanging over their head where they can be informed upon simply for saying something someone else doesn't like or finds insensitive.
On the UW
so
bias,
that kind of Orwellian consequence that can happen.
On the bias or hate reporting website at UW-Madison, it adds this to the definition of bias. I'm quoting here: although the expression of an idea or point of view may be offensive or inflammatory to some, it is not necessarily a violation of law or university policy. The university values and embraces the ideals of freedom of inquiry, freedom of thought, and freedom of expression, all of which must be vitally sustained in a community of scholars. So, I mean, translating, it sounds like you may feel as insensitive. We may not agree with you, even though you report this. So does that mollify your concerns at all?
Well, it certainly mollifies it. And I should admit that I was partly involved in getting that standard put in there, working with the administration. So I think it's very good that that's there. And as a matter of fact, that standard has gotten a green light from FIRE, which is a national organization, the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, which gives different red light for a policy that violates the First Amendment clearly, a yellow light, the one that has potential to do that, but doesn't really on its face. And a green light means that it's First Amendment friendly. And the Madison program does have a green light from FIRE. And we did work on that to make that happen with the cooperation of the administration. So that's very good. The problem is if the way it's being applied in practice, and so the relationship between the administration and the professors who have complaints against them, if those aren't done in the right way, it can have a real chilling effect. So a lot depends on how these things are applied when the rubber hits the road. And that's where the concern would be. But at least as it's written, the Madison standard is very good, and that's to the administration's credit.
Talking to Donald Downs, UW-Madison Emeritus Professor, author of the new book, Free Speech and Liberal Education, A Plea for Intellectual Diversity and Tolerance. We're talking about a policy, a program at UW-Madison, a bias incident report form. If UW-Madison came back to you, Donald, and said, okay, how can we make sure we're doing the policy right when these things are reported and the kind of things we're looking for, what would you say to them?
Well, and as a matter of fact, they have reached out to me already just because of the op-ed that appeared. And, you know, I know people over there, Ray Tafora, who's the lead legal counsel for UW-Madison. He and I have worked together over the years on these issues. So I have, you know, faith in him to do it right. What I would like to see, leave it like it used to be, where if somebody commits an act of sexual harassment, racial harassment, et cetera, based upon the legal standard, that, you know, you go to the chair of the department, you can report that. That's been going on for many, many years. But this is a special program which seems to encourage people to file complaints if remarks simply bother them too much. And that's where the real danger can lie. So I would rather see that system done away with and just rely on the old system, make sure the old system's working, or at least screen some of these complaints and only bring the professors in when, according to the administration, there clearly is a problem here that needs to be worked out. As is, I have one professor contacted me who was called in for a student complaint, which is really just utterly off the wall. And he felt that he was being, you know, looked at in a kind of a picky way, in a way which sort of chilled his speech in class. So I'd like to see more screening going on. Separate the serious complaints from the non-serious complaints.
What about in a system where you rely on that department chair? What if they are the subject of the complaint or perceived as, right, you know, sympathetic to the subject of the complaint? Is there a workaround for that situation?
Well, yes, usually there are. I mean, departments have different people that deal with these things. And I know when I was in political science, usually the first thing you do is go to the chair, and the chair then would talk to delegate a committee or someone else in the department to look into the matter. And that could be done in the kind of case you're talking about. These kinds of processes have been in play for a long time. And why do you need a new program that encourages the kind of example that I used in my op-ed that came out of that research done by the reporter for Dispatch, where a professor simply said, so there's certain sacred cows that we're afraid to challenge. And the next thing you know, by using the term sacred cow, he's accused of white supremacy by the student. I mean, that's a pretty serious charge for simply using a term that we use all the time.
Now, you've got a whole book out about this, and I imagine we'll probably talk to you about the new book at some point. But put this in the context of what you're seeing going on around the country. What has you concerned enough to say to write a new book about free speech and liberal education?
Well, because programs like this have proliferated around the country, it's really been going on, beginning with the speech code movement back in the 1990s that I talked about in the op-ed, where a lot of schools passed speech codes to try to regulate speech that people considered offensive. And a lot of those codes were declared unconstitutional. It led to all sorts of problems, people feeling they're walking on eggshells in class, not afraid to speak their minds with intellectual honesty. And these new kinds of programs, like the bias reporting system, are kind of end runs around the speech codes that were declared unconstitutional in many cases to try to kind of get more surveillance and more control over what people say in class. And if it's not done right, which is often the case, it can really interfere with, you know, intellectually honest debate and discussion about very sensitive issues.
Let's bring on a caller now. Charles is with us in Eau Claire. Charles, hi.
Hi. So I'm a student at UW-Eau Claire, and freshman year, they have all the students go through this online training course about sexual harassment. And I was curious if our guest would be in favor of such an online course that would properly train students or staff about how to properly report sexual, or not sexual bias, but bias and hate statements.
Well, I mean, training when it comes to what constitutes sexual harassment and these other issues that have legal standing there and do not qualify for freedom of speech, I think is certainly valid. Everybody needs to know what sexual harassment is and what lines they should never cross. And so if the training is done in a straightforward kind of way, that's just a thing that universities should do. The problem is when you start expanding it to discourse in general, and say you should never offend anybody for what they say, then you're really interfering with the process of intellectual discussion, which takes place not only in the classroom but all over campus, and you know, makes for a vibrant intellectual environment. So, you know, basic training in this stuff is fine, and as a matter of fact, necessary, but it should not be browbeating. It should be, you know, straightforward and say what the rules are. And two, it should be clear that speech that people just find upsetting and irritating or overly challenging should not be considered forms of hate speech or harassment.
Charles, thanks for that call. And Donald, thanks for joining us today.
Sure, my pleasure.
Donald Downs is a professor of political science emeritus and affiliate professor of law and journalism emeritus at UW-Madison. He's also the author of the new book, Free Speech and Liberal Education, A Plea for Intellectual Diversity and Tolerance. Talk to him about UW-Madison's bias response team.